Proverbs, chapter 1. Book of Proverbs, chapter 1. And I just have one verse this morning that I guess we could call our text verse. It's maybe more of a jumping off point for the message this morning. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33, the Bible says, "But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." Let me read it again. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Now, I think that probably most everyone today would be willing to say that there are more dangers in our world than ever before, that at any time in the past, we would say that the days that we live in are probably more evil, or at least that there are more dangers that are present than at other times in the world. I mean, we think of, you know, natural disasters, for example. We don't have any idea how many earthquakes happen in a single year. And they just keep compounding and compounding. And you see hurricanes and you see tornadoes that wipe out entire towns and cities and take lives and all kinds of natural disasters all around us. Here are the threats of nuclear war. You know, you have rogue nations like Iran. And you had despot leaders like Ahmadinejad in Iran who and he's not there anymore, but vocally saying, you know, "We're going to wipe out the nation of Israel. We hate them. We want to kill them." You've got nations like North Korea that are so unstable that it seems like at any time, you know, they threat to launch a nuke. We've got diseases like cancer that take life after life after life. You got sexually transmitted diseases all over, AIDS, and the populations of Africa. There are some countries in Africa that over 50% of the population is infected with disease. There's always the threat of terrorism. There's always the threat of domestic violence. I mean, almost every other week now you hear of some shooting. And we've got shootings in the schools, and we've got shootings in the malls and in movie theaters, and you've got mass killings, you've got crimes against society, you've got economic woes. The threat of economic collapse is always at the forefront, and the American economy could go down in flames at any moment. All of these things are all around us. We've got deep political divisions in our country. Deeply divided, red versus blue. And you know, the political scene is always unstable. You know, the times seem unsettling at best, but deadly at the worst. You know, the U.S. dollar is weak. It used to be, when I was a kid, you know, I lived in North Dakota. We'd go up into Canada, Winnipeg, and you go to the border and you exchange your money and you'd almost get twice as much Canadian money for your U.S. dollar. Not anymore. In fact, I think I just heard that the Canadian dollar is more valuable than the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar is weak. The stock market is unpredictable. The threat of our energy and natural resources running out is always at the forefront. Global warming. People and relationships, they often betray us. The question that comes to my mind is, when you start to think about things in these terms, what is there in life that is truly safe? How can we really feel secure in anything? After all, everything is changing so rapidly. What can we rely upon and what can we trust to feel safe? Can we trust our society? Can we trust the government? I don't think so. In fact, more and more all the time, that is the gripe, the common gripe, that you can't trust anything that the government does or says. That's why we've got shows on television called Doomsday Preppers. Have you ever seen that show? It's actually kind of fascinating. But what's the purpose? What's the motive behind it? Where people give of their you know, 10, 15, 20% of their income, storing up and stockpiling food and water and buying compounds and setting up sniper towers on the top of the hill in their 20-acre lot. Why do people do those things? Because they fear what's coming. They fear what this world is going to come to. And so they try to preserve the life that they have. They try to protect their families, and they stockpile all these things. So when doomsday comes and chaos ensues in society, they're going to be safe. But what is there that is truly safe? What can we really count on? And you know, in this entire universe, folks, there's only one thing that doesn't change. It's actually a person. It's God, the Almighty Creator. And in the Bible, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6 says, "I am the Lord, I change not." God is totally reliable. God is totally trustworthy. And what God has promised is still true today, just like it was when it was first given. He is forever faithful. He is steadfast. And you know, God's Word, the Bible, has not changed either. God's Word hasn't changed. He promised to preserve it. But here's the challenge, folks. Our challenge is to believe and to apply truth from God's Word in our heart and our life. Not to choose whether or not it's true. We don't get to decide what is truth. And there's no such thing as a person being able to say rightly, you know, your truth is your truth, and what you believe is what you believe, and here's what I believe, and we're all going to go on our merry way because we can believe whatever we want. Wait a second. Who made you the authority? Who made me the authority? What right do I have to say what is truth or not anyway? We end up making ourselves God. No, the Creator God is the one who established truth, and He established it in His Word. And folks, it's our responsibility not to say whether it's true or not, but to choose to believe it or to reject it. God's Word hasn't changed. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. The Bible says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Where do we find safety? "Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely." I want us to take a look at this question this morning, and the title of the message this morning is, "Where is safety?" Where is safety? How can we be safe? And how can we be under God's protective care in this life? How can we dwell safely and be at confident and be able to say, "It is well with my soul"? The first principle that we're going to look at this morning is that we must acknowledge where we are. In order to be safe, we must acknowledge where we are. What do I mean by this? Well, let's think about it in terms of who we are in our natural condition as human beings. When we come into this world, folks, we are outside of God's place of protection. When we come into this world, we are born into this world, we are outside of God's provision. We are outside of God's blessing. And the reason is because we are sinners. We are born into this world sinners who are in rebellion against a holy God, and we actually live under divine condemnation. And truly, for us to be safe, we have to acknowledge where we are, and that is outside of God's protective care. In Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, the Bible says that we are all as an unclean thing. Look with me at Romans chapter 3. I read this verse last week from Romans chapter 3. But I want to read it again today in relationship to this truth of where we are at. We need to acknowledge where we are at. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And if you recall last week, I gave the illustration of standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon. Remember that? We talked about blowing up our Nike or our Reebok pumps, tennis shoes, and attempting to jump across the Grand Canyon. How successful would you be? And the Bible says that we are all sinners and we fall so short of God's glory and so far short of God's standards in our natural condition. And we need to acknowledge where we are at in our natural condition. Look at Romans 3, verse 19. The Bible says here in verse 19, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." This verse here declares that we all are guilty sinners before a holy God who judges sin. And folks, we need to understand and we need to acknowledge that we sin willfully. We sin intentionally. We sin premeditatedly. We sin freely because that's who we are. That is our nature. And just like a pig in his natural condition loves to wallow around in the mud, it doesn't matter how many times you pull him out, how many times you clean him up, he'll always go back to the filth and the slop because that's who he is. And the same is true when it comes to our condition, our natural condition as sinners. We sin willfully and intentionally and freely and premeditatedly because that's who we are. We love our sin. And we care not for the divine holiness of God. We care not for God's rules in our natural state. You know, there's a lot of people. You could go and tell them, you know, God condemns the use of alcohol as a beverage. Alcohol is not a friend. In fact, I believe it's a sin to drink alcoholic beverages according to God's word. And you could say that truth to somebody out in the world and they'd be like, "Psh, what are you talking about?" In fact, you could probably say that to some Christians and get the same response. We sin willfully, and we care not for the rules of a holy God. And they're not rules, but they're standards that God of truth that God has established. We care not for the things of God in our natural state. We care not for divine holiness. And yet, we will answer to Him one day for our sins. Look with me at John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 18. John 3 verse 18. "He that believeth on Him," that's Christ, "is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Here we find that we're going to answer to God. He says, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And we come into this world under condemnation from a holy God. And folks, in order to find safety, we must acknowledge where we are. That our sinful, wicked heart places us outside of God's good favor. Our wicked, sinful heart places us outside of God's blessing, outside of God's protection, outside of His family. And we can never find true peace. We can never find safety until we understand and realize where we are at in relation to God. And that's outside. That's separate from a holy God. You want to be safe? First of all, you got to understand and know that you're outside of the place of safety in your natural condition as a sinner before God. But then number two, we must accept what God has revealed. First of all, we need to acknowledge where we are at. That is outside of God's blessing and favor. Number two, we need to accept what God has revealed. The Bible shows us that God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. Because of this, Jesus is the only way that we can be cleansed. Jesus is the only way that we can be forgiven. He's the only way that we can be accepted by God. This is what God has revealed. God has revealed to us that we are sinners. We need to acknowledge that. Number two, God has revealed that Jesus Christ is the only way that we can be accepted of God. And it's not okay for us to say, well, I just don't believe it like that. We need to acknowledge where we're at and accept what God has revealed. It really doesn't matter what I say. It really doesn't matter what you say. The only thing that matters is what God says. That we're sinners. That we're under condemnation and guilty. And Jesus Christ is the only way that we can be accepted of God. Look at Romans chapter 5. We need to accept what God has revealed, if we're going to find safety. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, follow along with me here. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. What does this truth reveal to us about our condition and where we are at? The Bible says that sin, that every man is a sinner, and so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We have a sentence of death that is placed upon us, folks. And we need pardon from this sentence of death and judgment. But Jesus Christ is the only one who has paid our sin debt. John chapter 3, please. John chapter 3. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We're talking about how Jesus Christ is the only one who's paid our sin debt, and God sent His only begotten Son. And if we put our faith and trust in Him, we're not going to perish, but have everlasting life. Look at Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. You have to understand the context here. And we don't have the time to really go into it and look at it. But what Paul said here was that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be saved. So often people want to be, they say they want to be right with God. They say they want a relationship with God. But they're trusting the wrong thing for that relationship. Maybe someone's always thought that, you know, the good works that I've done in my life, they're going to outweigh the bad, and someday I'm going to stand before God, and He's going to weigh all of it in His divine scale. And all the good works that I've done are going to outweigh the bad, and so God is going to accept me. That's not true. There's no such thing, because the Bible says it's not of works that we can be saved. In fact, look with me at Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. In verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And so people, they say they want a relationship with God, and maybe they think they're all right with God because they've got all of these things that they think they do in the name of the Lord that is going to merit them favor with God. Going to church, being religious, has nothing to do with a relationship with God. Has nothing to do with true salvation. Maybe some people have always thought that being a good person and keeping the Ten Commandments will get them to heaven. But if we look in Galatians chapter 3, here's what the Bible says. And what are we talking about? We're talking about the fact that we have to accept what God has revealed. It's not up to us to decide whether it's true or not. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And he says here in verse 11 that it's very evident that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Why? Because nobody can keep the law. The law was given to be our schoolmaster, the Bible says, to teach us what it means to understand the character of a holy God and to bring us to the knowledge that there's no possible way we can keep the law and merit favor with God. We fall short of God every time. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, to show us that He's the only way that we can have our sins forgiven. Some people have always thought that because they were baptized, maybe as a baby, or at some point in their life, that baptism has made them a child of God. But look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14. Here's the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and he says here, I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And here the Apostle Paul says, I thank God that I didn't baptize anybody. And the point that I'm making is that if baptism were essential for salvation, Paul would never have said this. It clearly has nothing to do with salvation. In fact, every instance on record in the Bible of somebody being baptized is only after they've already received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Check it out. That's why it's called believer's baptism. It's the first step in obedience to Christ. Once you've come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and you've received Him into your heart as your personal Savior, He wants you to follow Him in obedience in the first step. Is by being baptized. That's what baptism is in the Bible. It has nothing to do with salvation. The fact is that we're sinners, and we must accept what God has revealed. It's not up to us to decide whether it's true. The only thing that we can do is believe it or reject it. But we are accountable to God for the truth that He gives to us. And the third principle this morning. How do we find safety? We need to acknowledge where we're at, outside of God's protection, in our natural condition. We need to accept what God has revealed, that we're sinful people under condemnation, and the only way to have our sins forgiven and find that safety is through Christ. And the third thing is that we must apply what God has provided. We must apply what God has provided. We are commanded in the Scriptures to, number one, repent, and number two, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What does this mean? The Bible tells us that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And here's where we must apply what God has provided. What does it mean to repent of sin and believe on Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, it means that we need to see ourselves as condemned sinners. In repentance, what do? We acknowledge and we see ourselves as condemned sinners, and from the heart, we change our mind or repent about who we are and about our sin and about our rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in humility, we yield to His mastery. That is repentance. And secondly, we trust and accept Jesus Christ, God's Son, as the only Savior from sin. You know what this amounts to? It amounts to a leap of faith, as it were. As you, in acknowledging your sinful condition and your condemnation before a holy God, you yield to His mastery and simply put your faith and trust in Him. I can't do it. I can't save myself. I'm under condemnation. I need forgiveness. And you take a leap of faith as you completely commit your life and eternity to God through Christ. Look with me at Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. I want you to look with me at verse 3. In fact, let's just go back to the beginning. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners, above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Skip down to verse 5. He says it again. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He says it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what kind of a sinner you are compared to someone else. That's the thing that he's saying in this portion of Scripture. He says, no, except ye repent, you're all going to likewise perish. That is the truth of every mortal. Without repentance, there's condemnation. And there's an eternity without God. In Acts chapter 3, in verse 19, I quoted this verse earlier, but let's flip over there. In Acts chapter 3, in verse 19, Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Here's the command of God to repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And so here is where we accept what God has revealed, and then we apply what God has provided. And with a repentant heart, we must believe only on Jesus Christ as Savior. Apart from religion, apart from good works, because He's the one who saves all by Himself. Salvation is of the Lord. That's what Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9 tells us, that salvation is of the Lord. This is where we find safety. And you know, if you apply what God has provided, if we acknowledge what God, where we're at, outside of God's favor, and we understand our guilty condition and we apply what He has provided, you know what? It soon becomes clear that knowing Jesus Christ as Savior is a brand new life. it soon becomes clear that we really do have peace with God that is brought to us by the Holy Spirit of God. We can say it is well with my soul because the guilt of sin and the fear of the future are gone. And as a child of God, you know what? I know I have God's promise that He's going to care for me, that He's going to protect me. Very similar to how I would love and care for my own children. There's nothing that's going to harm them if I have anything to say about it. And I'm going to care for them, and I'm going to provide for them, and I'm going to love them as a father loves their children with all that I am. But only God does that perfectly. Only God does that way beyond whatever I could do for even my own children. God does it so much better. We have that promise as His children. And there's real safety and real security in knowing the Lord. Let me ask you a question. If you were to die today, do you know where you'd go? And I look all the way across this room. We can start at the front with Brother Chris. And we can go across the row. We can go to the second row, to the Baileys. We can go back here to Morgan. And we can just keep going all the way around the room. If you were to die today, do you know where you'd go? Do you have that security? And we get all the way to the front to Doug, and we move all the way to the end of the row. Do you know where you'd go if you died today? Do you have peace? Do you have security in your soul? Is it fun living in fear? Is it fun living in uncertainty? You know, when the Word of God is preached and the Spirit of God is moving in somebody's heart and there's just something inside that says, this is true. This is true. You can't deny it. That old sinful man wants to push it aside and reject it and push it away and say, not today. But the question still comes back, what if you died today? You're accountable to God. You can have peace. You can have security in your soul today if you acknowledge where you are outside of God's family, accept what He has revealed, that there's no way of forgiveness outside of Jesus Christ, and then apply what He has provided. Repent. Change your mind about your life, about sin, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood alone. Then you're going to find rest. Then you're going to find safety. Then you're going to find security forever in Christ. And you know what? If you know Him, if He is your Savior, you have that peace, you have that security. Let me encourage you with this. Determine that you're going to follow Christ with your life. Determine you're going to love the Lord and you're going to walk in His ways. Determine you're going to let God use your life to make a difference for somebody else. Live for Him. Be faithful to Him. If you know the Lord is your personal Savior, obey Him. Attend a Bible preaching church. Get under the sound of God's Word so it can affect your life and cause you to grow. And the Lord's going to bless your life. Where is safety? Where is security? It's only found in Christ. Do you have it? Has there been a day in your life when you understood your guilty condition before God, and in faith and repentance, you bowed before God and said, God, I'm a sinner. I can't do anything. I need forgiveness. Come into my life. I give my life to You. If you have never done that, if there hasn't been a point in your life when you've done that, you can say you're Christian till you're blue in the face, and my friend, you are without God. Because the truth of the matter is, salvation is a new birth. It's a point in time. When you yield to God and he transforms you into a new person and he brings you into his family. That's a new birth. That's real salvation. And if there's never been an acknowledging of my sin and guilt and an applying God's provision, then there's no salvation. Do you have peace? Do you have security? Do you have Christ? Lord, we thank you for this simple truth, yet profound and powerful truth. Father, I pray that the Word of God would fall on humble, submissive hearts today. Lord, I don't know anyone's heart. I can't see it like you do. And so, Father, I pray that you just take the feeble words of this feeble man, and Father, that you'd use them to work in people's hearts today. And it's not my words. They're the words of God. The Word of God. That is quick and powerful. That's a spiritual book that can discern the thoughts and the intents of a person's heart. That can show a person their true condition of guilt before God. But these words, the words of God, are also the words of hope. That if we'll just believe what you have revealed to us, we could find true forgiveness and find true peace and safety in the family of God. So, Lord, as we conclude this service and an invitation time, Father, we give it to you. We ask that you draw all men to the Lord Jesus Christ today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please stand together with me. Your heads bowed and your eyes closed.